Wholeness and balance vibration. The circumstances and situations around producing this particular audio file has been quite interesting. It has been stuck on different devices, needed a bit of post-production, and even at some point it was given up on. But at one moment I realized that it's possible that all the impedance faced when trying to reconstruct this audio, which could easily be thrown in the bat of thousands of audios that I have that never made it into production and out to everyone, that this one has something special going on. And while it may not be complete, since the first part was utterly unobtainable to be able to put into a position of using, and the latter halves, which you will find here, have some brief interruptions, I just thought that, hey, let's go ahead and put this out. And even if we have to revisit this topic again of opus equilibrium, then we will do so on top of the foundation that is already built, wholeness.
Okay, so let's say, for instance, some people want to really understand where malevolent forces, as they're calling them, demons, really come from, okay? And I can make it very simple for people that opportunists are beings or energies that take advantage of the environment or the scenario in order to cultivate, build, construct, consume, right? Now, here's what's interesting. Every single human being, not maybe there's like a 0.333% of humans that are not doing this. They're engaging every single day in these exact behaviors because they want opportunities. They want beauty, wealth, growth, happiness, joy. To create those spaces, you have to create the opportunities for those spaces to exist, okay? And that's why all of this motivational stuff is all about basically opening up more opportunities. But you have to see also that now what happens when one being or a few beings or a family of beings or whatever decide that they don't really have a threshold for the level of opportunities that they can benefit from. Okay, so while you may stop at, let's say you feel like where you would hurt someone, they're already even at a stage of not even feeling that they're hurting anyone, feeling actually that they're even preserving people. The church operates like that, especially the Catholic Church. Like they went to every single country that was worshiping something different than what they had, and they eradicated all those people in the name of God. And they were able to do that because they felt that what people were doing at that stage was not as good at all as what they were doing, and that it wasn't going to be healthy for the earth, and that they were going to remove these people from the earth. And so not only did they just do it with not actually feeling anything, they did it with actually feeling like they were doing the best thing. So do you see what happens here is you have to get to just a point where you start to take the lessons, because there's other beings that are instructing you right now through all of these different scenarios. They want you to actually see the bigger picture, as people call it. Like they want you to see beyond all of this and stop letting this dramatic play distract you from the obvious. And then for you to start centralizing yourself within your own being and say, okay, I don't have to look without outside anymore. I'm going to stop doing it because it's like a habit. It's not even so much as a reason. It's a habit to keep looking outside. And then start to come back in yourself, feel real, and realize, oh, this is all up to me infinitely. And then start adjusting yourself for the infinite journey. How I do that is that I'm like, okay, well, I need to start building a foundation now. I need to have something that is something that I know is, I created, I can depend on it, and it can assist and sustain all of the opportunities of those that come behind me that are connected to what I'm connected to. Okay? So that's like, okay, this is the maturity, because this is like, that has to happen. So whatever you're doing, whatever's going on in your mind, build something that actually sustains you, that like your farm, build, it's like your farm for this time, Like, I work on the internet right now, so I'm building an internet farm, something that we can all increase our opportunities from. But again, who says when someone's gone too far with wanting to fulfill their opportunities? There's no being really out here that is saying, no, you cannot do that. Because let me put this in the right context. This is where it's paradoxical. In your consciousness, only you can do that. You can tell yourself, oh, no, you know, I can't. But truthfully, so nobody can really do it to you. But there are many people that it gets done to by suggestion, meaning that there are many people that they just don't feel that level of empowerment with themselves. They just don't feel like that they have the same opportunities as other beings have. And in essence, they're wrong. Paradoxically, they're right. And this is because in one circumstance that is a delusion that has been got spells all on it and lots of opportunists involved, it doesn't seem like everybody has the same opportunities in all of this. But in the real realm, how things really exist, everything has the same opportunity. And while that may not be easy to understand or understand, as I always say, because you would have to basically do both, it is in fact to be true. The mind has to get familiar with not just dealing in even paradoxes, which are like dualities, the big and the small, all in the same place or in the same body. We have to get ready to go trinary, if you may, to the third level of thinking, to have that floating point that actually keeps us balanced, that allows us to see why is it that everything occurs, rather than being confused about the actions that are going on around us. And so we always have this, well, that's the other side kind of thing. Because when you're saying that or when you're thinking that, you're just saying that that's the other side of me, because the whole thing is still you. So that other side of you becomes unexplored. Unexplored, not that you need to go and do that stuff and try that stuff. You're already doing it. You just have not acknowledged it. And that's why when somebody tries to teach these lessons, it can get pretty crazy, because some people try to teach these lessons like acknowledge your evils and become evil, embrace it. And that's actually what many of these cults are full of. And they're ignorant, because it's like, no, what it's about is accepting that aspect of the consciousness, because you need to synthesize it. You don't want to go act out in those activities, act out in those dramas. You don't got to go through that. Those are the most rudimentary ways. You need to now see it as even to the basis. Like when you synthesize something, you see it to the basis of what it is. For instance, this force that we're talking about that people connect to as malevolence is actually more like the tip of a V. Geometrically, it's like what you would see with a sword, what you would see with something that can poke. It's a point, it's a pin. So the masters, they're only seeing it as a point and a pin, and they use it accordingly. It's like a straight line. It's used to basically cut. And then the other force, the one that love and all this, this one's bulbous. It's like a bubble. It's like a curve, right? And so the masters, they don't try to get all the way into the nucleus, like what people are doing with the point, how they're cutting each other, how they're spitting into things and poking into stuff, even with their sexual organs and all. They don't get into all of that because that's the drama. They get into the master synthesis of what we're talking about. In this case, we're talking about a straight line and we're talking about a curve. And so when the beings that are masters are walking on the dimensions, any kind of thing that tries to pop up inside of those designs are immediately altered by that being's consciousness, because they have mastered the straight line and the curves. And so anything that's trying to act like, oh, I'm so big and mighty and mighty, it's like, man, you're just a curve or you're just a straight line. And because of the Magus's consciousness being so powerful, it is able to alter even that shape. And that's how they practice power over the cosmos. Because even the biggest beings are sometimes categorized as the dumbest ones. especially in the paint with these kind of beings, because all they have to do is get you to start seeing things the wrong way, put in a couple of illusions on you, start getting a couple wars going on, and already you and your race and your species and everybody that's not outside of their opportunities, start becoming how those beings are accomplishing their opportunities. But that whole idea, that whole aspect of being comes from even when a baby tries to stand up and walk. And that's how it is.
So then you have others who can't handle this knowledge and wisdom too well.
So they start getting crazy. They start trying to go too deep into the knowledge, and then they start hearing stuff and seeing stuff. And then they just go crazy because there's like, they never really learn like a master learns. It's kind of like trying to type us the bad way first, and then you don't know how to type after that. That's how the consciousness kind of works, because once you start using it a certain way, now it becomes very difficult for you to stop using it that way and to use it a different way. And the only thing that the projection has put in play that allows that to not happen as much is called death. Because when death comes, it kind of stops the whole process. Like, okay, you're not going to figure this out. And now we're going to reboot it again. You start again and actually see if the sequences and changes and things that happen in this term of time take you into a stage of death again, which is just division. You didn't figure it out again. Or you become enlightened. You figure it out while you're alive, everything that I'm actually saying right now in the aspects of truly experiencing it. And then you don't taste death. Even if the physical body actually dies, the spiritual body goes and connects with the all because it's aware of the all. But the spirit body cannot connect like the soul, because the soul is like an individual. The spirit is like, one is the collective, one is the individual. It cannot connect until it understands why it's connecting, and that it doesn't have to fear the connection. And so all this on the planet is a step down version of that. Like, what would I be fearing? The killers, the rapes, the all of this kind of stuff. But all of that is just showing you, when you have power, because that's what the straight line is, it's the rule. When you have ultimate power, you have to learn and know how to use that power. As a judge, that's why Saturn is a judge. So if you judge people wrong and judge things around you all the time wrong, you can never have possession of this power outside of this bubble. Because if you take that out there, you're going to basically destroy a balanced being when you get out there, because you're going to be the only being out there imbalanced. And that's why it's all like, it makes perfect sense. Like, every single being that's imbalanced and hasn't come aware of its true self will be inside of these bubbles, just like inside of the mother's womb, because it protects you. Because that's the other thing. It's like, you go out there with that, they're going to wipe you out real fast, because it's a vibration you're carrying, and they're not harmonic with that vibration. So that vibration will do what you would think is quote unquote kill you anyway. So as a protection, they put you in a bubble in your mother's womb, and you won't get out, which most people are looking to do right now. They want to go out and see the cosmos, and they think they do, at least. But that can't happen unless you graduate the lesson from this university or university, which is saying you got to know what to do with both of these energies, especially when you go out there, and you got to know how they both work together. So that way you don't get destroyed out there. Because I don't think that this ends like, oh, everything there's just all peaceful and all that. That doesn't make any sense. It just basically says that, hey, when you get out there, it's way more bigger. Way bigger. Like, the opportunities are galactic. You see what I mean? Like, it's a whole bigger scale of things. But just like your mother, like, let's imagine this. Earth is our mother, right? So what's happening is, that's just like you being Aura's mother. How many other women are out here? A lot. How many other planets are out here or wombs? A lot. So Earth is one womb trying to protect her children and take them through this process of learning before they get out into the big thing. And hopefully we learn enough from this experience to allow us to truly what we would say is survive or thrive out there. And to do that, I feel like that what they've been telling us for the last at least 3 weeks very strongly is that the only way we can survive, quote unquote, out there, which you have to actually go inside to reach paradoxes, the only way we will survive is if we all are together. We're very large when we're together, but we're too small. We're very powerful when we're together. I'll say that. I want to say it as far as size is concerned, because that's actually also opposite too. But out there, the vastness of our consciousness together is so powerful, we can withstand, we can survive. But separated, we cannot go out there and survive. So I just explained it several different ways about how you cannot get out of this, period. So this is like the paradox for everybody. They need to understand this. You can never leave this place. You will be forever banished to the garden unless you learn about how to maintain the balance. And to maintain the balance, you must come together. You must actually bring these forces into some kind of awareness, some type of realization. So I noticed also that when I was even in prison, you would get some people that really look terrible. Like they look like they will hurt you or do something, right? And it was just kind of, even though they may even do those kind of things a little bit, it's really a part of, you can see it's like a DNA thing. And you can see even that many of them want to change that and have dealt with all the time in their life. The moment someone sees them, they start clutching their purse or looking at them like something's going to happen, and they start fearing them, which also makes them have to take advantage of that opportunity eventually rather than try to want to continuously be embraced by something that doesn't want to embrace you. You see what I mean? So I noticed that when spending some time with these guys, like especially if you had them as a roommate, within 3 or 4 days, they start growing on you, meaning that they don't actually look as ugly and terrible and fearful as they really are perceived to be on the outside sometimes through judgments. Once you start talking with the guy and seeing that he's got problems and he's got even a kid, you show you a picture of his kid and wanting to get back home with his mom, and then you're like, wow, this dude is a killer. But somehow he doesn't really want to be a killer. This was like a process of making mistakes and things that his parents did, all these kind of things, right? And then so when you start seeing him, and this is what's strange, like 2 months later, when you see the guy, he doesn't look different from when you first met him, but he somehow looks different to you through familiarity. So what I suspect is that the main occultists started to become familiar with many of these forms that are out there that would terrify us. And they made relationships and got communication going on with these forms and these beings. And they expanded further. Now, if one want to say, well, did they write? Is that right or wrong? This is out of the realm of that. That's exactly how they got out there. And that's why they say they're one of their books, you know, which I wouldn't advise reading, is called Outside of Time. But see, the dangers, again, that's why this occultism and all this kind of stuff has been like on the back burner, because the dangers, of course, are megalomania. This is when the person feels like they have become so powerful and there's so much energy coursing through them that they just get like super crazy. They demand things from people. They hit people. They yell all the time. There are people like that on the planet right now. But this is because they cannot hold this energy. The predominant reasons of the meditations were to develop a consciousness to a level to where it could hold energies and keep them in balance. Because what happens is you could even take in a massive force that may have been perceived by others as being a destructive force, and then make this force as constructive as it was its destruction. So harness its power to actually do something even greater. This is always a cognate of you sitting on top of like a dragon and riding it, and it's taking you to another place. That's what the symbol is, because generally, if you're face to face with a dragon, this is a pretty terrifying experience. But if you're riding it, all of that power is now propelling you into a greater direction. And this is what I believe personally, that the greatest master teachers are trying to let us understand about all of these different forces that are out there, or more specifically, in here, inside of us, in a small form, sometimes a little bit larger in others, but existing in everybody to a level that we're supposed to be getting familiar with what we're dealing with overall. Like, it's not, it's like, if that's what really exists out there, which I believe it does, all types of forms and all this kind of stuff, it's like these beings can't do anything else. Our parents can't do anything else but basically leave us here until we learn this lesson. There's just like nothing else that can be done. It's like, well, this is the best that we can explain it to you so far. We have places like Syria that are completely destroyed, pretty much, bombed out. We have deserts, actually. I forget looking at the dramas. We have deserts that are, as far as you can see, just sand. And we have places that, as far as you can see, are just oceans. And what they're basically saying is that, hey, all of this stuff is just these two forces, and they're resonant and they're present all the time. But if you want to get into the dramas, you can confuse yourself in the dramas. Pull back off of it. See it as a desert. See it as an ocean. And yeah, of course, there are many people that say they prefer the ocean. But without a desert, there's so many things that don't happen with a planet. Like, there's, you know, you could look at documentaries, the weather systems and all that kind of stuff. If we don't have a desert, we don't have a lot of things that we need to actually sustain a system. So that's what the metaphor is.